Oh man, that video turns from fun to like stressful for me. I don't know, don't play it again, please. No. That Listen Linda thing, that's his mom. He's calling her Linda. And there's an interview with her, says that he's doing that because that's like what dad says when they argue. Listen, Linda. And then like when he normally talks to her, he says mom, but it's so weird. Cute to like sort of stressful for me when I'm watching that, man. And we're going to get into that in just a second. Before we get into that, let's start out with our shouts. What do? We love God and we love others. What do we say? I love God and I love you. All right, one more thing before we get to our sermon series, our new Listen sermon series, is I want to introduce you guys to someone. So come on up here, Joshua, introduce you to someone that, well, we don't meet in person, so you probably haven't met him. Joshua is applied to be one of our interns, so I just wanted to introduce him to you really fast. Let him say hello. Come on up this way. If you get too short, it will be socially distanced appropriate. This is Joshua. He'll be interning for the next 4 or 5, 4 and a half, 5 months. So if you see him around, he'll be willing to get you coffee, run for donuts, wash your car, whatever you need. He's here for you, pray for you, care for you, as he's trying to find God's heart for him in ministry. And so let's just take a second. We're going to pray for him real fast. Jesus, we just pray over this brother. We just thank you for inviting him into our fellowship to be able to train and to see and listen for your voice in his life. We pray you'd speak clear to him. Thank you for him. In your name we bless him, and in your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thanks. All right, so mine's the white Civic, if you'll just get that. Last week I mentioned that God wanted us to build our fellowship. Like, we're already good at fellowship, but God wants to build that even more. And today we're going to talk about the best way to do that. The best way to build fellowship with one another is to have good communication together. And that's the top priority in building a relationship, is communication. And within communication, we tend to be better talkers than we are listeners. But good listening will create the space for good relationships. Good listening is the key tool if you want your relationships to be successful. The importance of listening in interpersonal relationships cannot be overstated. Look, God set humanity apart from all of the other created creatures in our ability to communicate with one another through speech, in our ability to sing hymns and lullabies to our little kids, and in our ability to teach algebra, and our ability to engage in meaningful conversations with one another. The ability to say, I love you to someone, and there to be meaning behind it. Since we are made for communication and we're made for connection, we got to prioritize our commitment to learning to listen better. There's this famous passage that you can't talk about listening and escape, this passage in James, where it says this: My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. There's this famous thought that says that's why God gave you 2 ears and 1 mouth, so you can listen twice as much as you speak. Since this is God's command for us, we really need to think carefully, and we need to self-assess carefully whether we are successful listeners, whether we are good at listening to other people. In order for connection to happen, someone has to be listening. And in our highly polarized society and all the things that are going on in all of our lives, this is increasingly difficult to honestly and openly listen to somebody else. Now, unless we have a bona fide physical impairment, all of us can hear the words that are coming out of someone else's mouth. But listening, real listening, is much more than hearing the parts of speech flow from someone else's lips. Real listening is something else. And so, to help us this morning in the idea of listening, I've structured today's message with 3 tiers of listening, going from worst to first. The 3 tiers of listening are like passive listening, active listening, and maybe one you haven't heard of before, supernatural or spiritual listening. So the first one is called passive listening, and studies show that almost every person claims to be a better listener than they actually are. See, most of us find ourselves almost always in this type of listening, of passive listening. We fall into this category. In fact, we probably resemble this verse more often than not. There's this proverb that says, to answer before listening, that's folly and shame. But I think it's probably mostly true for most of us all the time. We already have our answer in mind before the person has even finished speaking. You've already judged the sermon today, even when I'm not done. You've already decided you are a good listener before we've heard the sermon of listening. Well, the Bible says, well, that's silly. That's not a good way to navigate. The scripture speaks to this reality so often that we have to realize that if we answer without listening, it's a real problem. That's a classic first tier passive listening problem, where you answer and you haven't even heard the person. Rather than give our full attention, we continue to type an email while someone is talking, or maybe we're talking to someone and we don't have sustained eye contact, or we quickly internally, even though we're out externally looking at them, we internally turn to our own thoughts. I would invite you to look around the room anytime you're at service, anytime you're in a lecture hall, or even at a restaurant when that's possible again. And you'll notice how many people, just by the way looking at them, that you know they're not listening. Telltale signs of people not listening are everywhere. You'll see individuals putting on that blank face. I read it somewhere, the screensaver face, right? Where it just sort of goes dead on, the eyes are dull, no expression, there's talking, and there's just nothing going on, kind of. We've all done that or experienced that. You'll notice people who don't look at the person who's talking to them. They almost will look everywhere else. So if the person's right in front, they'll look here, they'll look there, they'll look over there, they'll be here. It's like an expert at not looking at them. A telltale sign that they're not actually listening, or perhaps they start to fidget. You'll notice people playing with stuff or fidgeting or touching their phone lovingly, caressing their phone, holding it, or even staring at it while someone else is talking. It's interesting because when we're the ones speaking, though, what do we want? When I'm the one speaking, I want them to listen well. And for some reason, we don't seem to be able to do the reverse. Like we want to be heard, and we want everyone to understand our meaning and our heart behind stuff, and yet somehow I'm not able to replicate that. Somehow I'm not able to give to the other person the thing that I so desire. Now, there's a myriad of reasons why we struggle to listen well. Some of them are simple, like being tired. It's really hard to listen if you're too tired. It's hard to listen when you're multitasking. If you're trying to do two or three things at the same time, you're not going to be a successful listener. And some are a little bit more complex. Some of them come from a lifetime of bad habits. So passive listening is really the only type of listening that we really have ever done. A major barrier to listening is technology nowadays. Some things that were invented to connect, they actually cause disconnect, especially in deep listening or real active listening or prioritizing in listening. See, when I have technology, the great part of technology is it's efficient, but it's not always deep. And then technology, when we add technology upon technology, it ends up to divide our attention. And so it's divisive in terms of our internal, and it's effective in terms of its communication, or efficient anyway, but it lacks depth. Both of those kind of things, the lack of depth and the division of our attention, hurt our listening ability, cause us to fall into this kind of passive listening. Passive listening keeps me in my own mind. See, there's a part of passive listening called defensive listening, which means I'm not really open to hearing you because I've got other things going on, and then I need to guard myself. And so one of the things passive listening helps me to do, it helps me to stay inside myself so that I don't need to worry about your opinion. Because if I actually hear you and your opinion, and even if I disagree with it, but I hear how it matters to you, it may cause me some internal angst. It may cause me to have to rethink my own opinions, and none of us like to do that. We absolutely know that we're always right, don't we? In every fight that you've had with someone else, you thought you were right, and so did they. And so part of the passive listening is like, I'm not open to the opinions of someone else. I just simply am not. And that's a habit that we've come into for a long time in our life, where we live in our head and we think that our head is the end-all be-all. And so our passive listening has kept people on the outside and other opinions on the outside, and it's a little safer that way. It's certainly easier to maintain my point of view than to listen well and think that there might be another point of view out there. Passive listening keeps me from being internally involved. That feeds our natural aversion to pain and powerlessness. See, if I listen to you deeply and I actually care about you, that's going to cause me to have to process that, to worry about that, to take on some of those things for you. It could cause me discomfort and strife, and I don't like discomfort and strife. And so I tend to stay in the passive listening. Passive listeners often offer cliches and pat answers, which really is like lemon juice to a cut. Especially if you're hurting or you're lonely or something's going on, what you really want is compassion and empathy, not a quick soundbite from someone else. Familiarity is another problem in passive listening. I think we tend to passively listen those people that we're closest to. My wife and I, we've been together 19 years. I know what she's going to say. The moment I get that, then I'm not going to listen to what she's going to say because I already know it. Right? My kids, I've seen them grow up. I wiped their butts when they were little, you know? I know what they're going to say. Man, that's arrogant. That's passive listening. That's defensive listening. And that's arrogance. Now, I'll be honest with you. And, you know, I know we don't ever want to reveal too much about our kids. Pastor's kids get that kind of thing. But there's times when I thought I've been a great listener. And I've discovered so much about my kids in the last couple of years because I've started to maybe dial back what I think I know. I started to say, well, maybe I don't know everything about them. Maybe they need to say it to me in their words without me interrupting, without me cutting them off, without me telling them what they already know. And it's hard because we're so familiar with them. We think that we know the answer, but people are complicated and your kids are growing and your spouse should be growing and you don't know what they're going to say. And the moment you think that you do, you're wrong. And you've put up walls to communication, and there's going to be no relational growth if we block listening. There won't be any with our kids. There won't be any with our spouses. There won't be any with our friends. I know what they're going to say. Listening to others well means that conversation, look, it's not going to be about me. I love everything to be about me, though. Passive listeners let it continue to be about them. But people who are interested in listening for connection and real communication understand that the conversation isn't always going to be about them. In fact, at least 50% of the time it's not. And if there's three people, that'll be like 66% of the time. If there's four people, 75% of the time it's not going to be about me. Passive listening allows me to let my mind stay in the direction I want it to stay. It doesn't let me go down a different avenue that I'm not in control of. Look, if we actually want to love God and we want to love other people, we can't remain in this tier of listening. Those things I was describing are all parts of what passive listening looks like. It's defensive and it's me and it's controlling. And if we want to really love other people, that's our mission statement. We say it every week. But it's my heart statement, too. I really do want to love people. And I recognize that I don't do it well all the time. And so I want to hear today what God has to say for us. So the second tier, I got to get out of passive listening. The second tier is active listening. And this is pretty popular. You've probably heard stuff about that. If you're, if you're over 10 years old or so, maybe 15 years old, you've heard about active listening. Active listening is really simple in terms of its concept, but it's really hard to do. And it requires a ton of effort at first, and it feels really manufactured at first. But there's a great payout in the end if you get good at doing it. Active listening is about making a conscious decision to let go of my own internal perceptions and the situation and let go of what I want to do and be open to actually hearing what the other person is saying. So here are some hallmarks or some tips or some things that active listening looks like. So in active listening, I put away my cell phone so that I can put my attention on the person who's talking. In active listening, I take away any other distractions other than the speaker. I listen without jumping in. Do you do that? Do you listen and you don't jump in the middle of a sentence? I find myself jumping in all the time. Don't do it. Active listening listens without jumping in. Or wondering what you're going to do, say, next in your own head. This is absolutely a man-centric problem. I give away this secret all the time when we do marriage counseling with my wife and I. If you're ever in an argument with your spouse, men and women, or your boyfriend or girlfriend, ladies, when you are talking in that argument and your man is silent, he's actually not listening to you. What he's doing is reloading. He's figuring out his next argument because he's not as smart as you, so he has got to figure it out before you finish what he's going to say. He is quiet, but he is not listening. And that's absolutely super common in relationships, and you'll see it all the time. How do you know he's reloading? The moment you pause, he's got something else. Now, he's not that smart, so he didn't have that just naturally like that. So he's been working on that while you were talking, which means he wasn't listening while you were talking. Sorry, guys, to give away the man's secret, but that's what they're doing. That's what I'm doing a lot of times. But that's not how active listening works. Active listening says, like, hold on thoughts, focus on what they're saying and the meaning behind what they're saying. Try to hear from their perspective. Try to hear what they're really, like, how are they viewing this thing that they're saying? And then you continue to listen until they come to a natural pause. That is so hard to do. For me, one, because I'm going to forget what I was going to say. I have this stuff loaded up, and if she keeps going, I'm not going to remember it. And then I'm going to be like, wait, what was I supposed to say to you? Well, that's not a connection. That's me trying to win. That's me trying to defend myself and protect myself, and that's not active listening. Pay attention in active listening. You pay attention to their body language. You pay attention to the tone of their voice. You avoid making quick judgments. So they said one thing, you're like, I know what that meant, and you're like judging and deciding before they're finished. Wait till they finish. Then review it in your mind and think about it, and you'll know someone might be listening if they say, give me a second to think about that before I respond. Man, what a cool statement if you hear that in a real relationship. You're like, wow, really? You got to actually think? Fantastic. Active listening repeats in your own words what they've said. You've heard of that, like summarize what they said. I hear you saying this, or this is what, you know, I hear what you're saying. Acknowledge that you're listening by nodding your head or saying, yeah, I get it. I hear what you're saying. Yes, you know, that kind of thing. Ask questions when you're not clear on what the other person is saying. Chances are that when you clear your mind and you truly show that you're listening, you're going to find it much easier to be engaged and connected to that person. Now, I have a warning about this. Here's a video warning about active listening techniques gone wrong. And so let's see this video warning right here.
Yeah, thanks for coming down.
Okay, so what seems to be the problem?
So every time I try to get online, It's asking me for an admin password,
sure.
But it shouldn't need a password to get onto the internet.
Sure.
And I should already have admin privileges on this computer.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense.
Did you get all that?
Yeah, totally. So, you need admin privileges?
No. Yeah. I already have admin privileges.
Oh, okay.
I just need to get on the internet. And
okay,
I shouldn't need admin privileges.
Yeah, got it.
I feel like you're not actually listening to me.
Yeah, sure.
Are you not listening to
me? No,
or are you saying that you get that it seems that way?
Totally, yeah. Yeah, that makes sense.
So active listening is not about mastering techniques so you go from blank stare face to like, yeah, yeah, mm-hmm, got it, wow, great, oh man, that's your heart. It's not about just implementing techniques like this kind of guy was doing. It's actually about trying to have a heart of understanding. Growing in our ability to active listening will absolutely help you in your relationships. And it's a fantastic area of growth for each of us. And I'll tell you, if you're a non-believer, like you, this is going to be the best part of your message right here. That you absolutely, as a non-believer, can take this idea that God wants you to be an active listener, and you can use it. It's going to help your relationships. You're going to be more connected to your kids than you've ever been. You're going to be more connected to your spouse than you've ever been. You're going to be a better co-worker for it. You're going to be better at your job by learning to actively listen. And for the world, for those people who are not believers, this is the culmination of listening, to become a great active listener who actually is engaged and cares. And it can do wonders for relationships. Psychologists talk about it in doing it in a real way all the time. If you've been to a psychology session or a marriage session with a non-believing therapist, this is something that they'll really hone in on. It'll help you become a better active listener. But active listening is the end or the culmination of the world's tiers of listening. But for those people that call ourselves believer, there's another level of listening that's available. And I call it the supernatural or the spiritual listening. Now, I haven't seen it. I've seen it in a couple of articles. I was reading this book, Listening Life, that has it a little bit by Adam McHugh. I saw it in a few articles, but I didn't see it a ton of places. And so I'm not sure it's as well developed as I'd like it to be. See, spiritual listening is like this. Adam McHugh writes in this book, Listening Life, hearing is an act of the senses, but listening is an act of the will. See, listening is more about more than straining to hear voices. It's about preparing the conditions of our hearts and cultivating an openness inside of us. In this way, listening is a posture, one of availability and surrender that ultimately comes from our relationship with God. And so this Christian author is talking about that. See, achieving this kind of spiritual listening takes intentionality. It's building on the ideas of not being a passive listener, building on the ideas of being an active listener, because when we listen actively, we become invested in the conversation. We make eye contact, we move closer to the person, we also work to understand like not only the content, but the emotional part of that. The emotional impact of what's being said, that's all taking place in active listening. But then there's spiritual listening after that. As the conversation flows, we're totally tuned in, and we're simultaneously, as we're listening and tuned in, trying to discern what's happening on the emotional and then the spiritual level as well. Because we believe God created us as spiritual beings. And so when they're talking, I'm asking in my heart, in my head, does this friend's tone, is it revealing hidden anger or bitterness? Those tears that are flowing down their face, are they opening up a space where maybe they were hurt and they need spiritual healing? Which of the words that they're saying reflect the voice of God? But which of the words that they're saying reflect the voice of the enemy? And when I'm spiritual listening, this is what I'm often listening for, because they'll say like, oh, I'm no good, I'm no this. And there'll be times when they pause and say, I hear you saying that. But let me tell you what God says, because I think you're hearing the wrong voice internally. See, God says that you're not that way. God says you're fearfully and wonderfully made. God says no matter your mistakes, He loves you, and you're not trash. And so when I'm listening spiritually, it tunes my ears differently. Spiritual listening demands that the command of Jesus to love others more than I love myself becomes a reality. Because if I'm listening, it can't be about me. If I'm spiritual listening, it has to be about them. As I love them more than I love myself. And I want to know them more than I want to give my own opinion. And I want to hear what they're going through so that I can bless and be with them. When we succeed, we understand and care for people in a supernatural way, fulfilling this command of God God says, carry each other's burdens. This is in Galatians chapter 6. Carry each other's burdens. And in this way, you're going to fulfill the law of Christ. You see, in most situations, people don't want you to fix their problems. They want you to listen and care, and they want you to bear the burden with them. They want you to help them carry the burden. They don't want you to fix anything. But you cannot carry a burden that you don't know about. And you will never learn about the real burdens of someone's heart unless you were open to spiritually listening to them. They're never going to trust you. They're never going to be honest with you. They're never going to reveal things to you. You cannot bear their burden if you don't know about their burden. And you won't know about their burden unless you listen carefully. And not just a quick, passive one, and not even an active one. But you start to say, hey, is there something more going on? When I am spiritually listening, it'll allow me to do exactly that. And then it provides the necessary information and the heart to follow this verse in Thessalonians, where this verse says, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact in you are doing. See, a listening ear and an open heart are incredible encouraging characteristics. Encouraging someone else doesn't require words first. It requires listening first. If I haven't listened to you, I don't know how to encourage you best. If I just say something, hey, you're a great person, but I don't know anything about you, I don't know that you just, you know, killed a bunch of cats, then probably you're a great person isn't an encouraging word. It doesn't meet or fit your situation. If I haven't listened, I can't encourage. And in fact, I would say that in many cases, if not most cases, just by listening, it's a much better encouragement by you even opening your mouth. I think about Job when his friends came and his life was really bad. The best time that they had was when they sit with Job and they don't say anything. And the moment they sit with him for 3 days, and the moment they open their mouth, that's when it's not encouraging. That's when it hurts him spiritually. That's when it doesn't help. You see, just by listening is going to be the best way to encourage someone. Spiritually listening opens our hearts to those that are around us so that we can fulfill this critical command by God. I urge you first of all, to pray for all people, to ask God to help them, to intercede on their behalf, and to give thanks for them. See, in spiritual listening, I'm praying throughout the conversation with someone. I'm praying for discernment. I'm praying for wisdom. I'm praying for a soft heart. I'm praying that God will help me when I'm stuck and I don't know what to say or I don't know how to respond. When I'm finished with that conversation, I know how to pray for that person specifically. Not just a, oh God, be with them. But I can say, oh God, I know that they feel lonely in the crowd. I know they feel like no one thinks they're valuable. But God, I know you do. And so would you send your spirit to speak words of love and value to them? See, I know how to pray specifically and ask God for something. Versus, oh God, just be with them. Now, if I don't know, God be with them is a good, it's okay, it's fine. But there's power to our specific pointed prayers. Listening spiritually invites us into the powerful work of the Holy Spirit. And it invites the Holy Spirit into our relationships. And it gives us the opportunity to actually love one another. As a church, we keep saying this, that we got to love God and love others. But listening and spiritual listening is the most important component to loving people, to actual people. Like we can love people in general, sort of love the world. But if we want to love the person who's sitting right to your left, or the person in your home, or the person that is on your prayer heart, a person that's in our church, if we want to love those persons actually, really, and rightly, then we've got to start to spiritually listen, which is taking all those great components of active listening and then adding God into the mix. And inviting the Holy Spirit to guide us. Show us how to talk. Show us how to listen. God, reveal to me. Give them courage to share because I'm trying to listen. God, give me ears that'll hear what's really happening. And if I don't know, the courage to ask questions and not guess about it. Like in our present culture, this is something that's absolutely needed. Have you watched the news? Have you watched how half of the country is not listening to half of the other country? Pretty clearly. And so in our culture, in our homes, in our lives, in our church, we have got to become better listeners if we want real, true connection and communion with one another. If we ever want to fulfill our mission statement to love God and love others, I can't control the world. I can control me, and I can influence some of you guys because I love you. We've got to get better at listening, myself included. So let's resolve to grow together in this commitment to listen actively, to listen spiritually to those that are around us. As the praise band comes up, we're going to take a minute and we're just going to pray about that, this idea of becoming a better listener. And I know sometimes in the message, like it's super spiritual and like it's like, oh, these great verses that we follow. And sometimes God's just saying, hey, you just got to get better at this. I need you to become my ears on that planet. And so let's take a minute and just pray. Take a minute to assess, like just honestly between you and God, like, do I need to become better at this? Is it time for me to be a bit more intentional in my listening? To follow God's desire for me in this area? So would you just take whatever, however you can pray that, whatever words you want to use, would you just pray that with me right now? God, as I self-assess, Have I become trapped in defensive listening or passive listening? Have I hurt others because I haven't even been open to listening to what they're saying? God, do you need to develop in me this? And so take a minute for that, and then we're going to respond to God by worshiping Him.